The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is our gospel reading for this past Sunday, which was the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. We're looking at Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 to 14. Luke wrote, "One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." My dear friends in Christ, because we have a sinful nature, we also have this sinful pride like the Pharisees. And so what we need to do is hear the parable that Jesus tells in our reading today. Jesus said, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this man your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important seat." Jesus' point here is simple. Whoever thinks that he is more important than others is conceited and proud, and his sin of pride may be revealed when he learns that there's someone else there who is more important than he. But our Lord isn't just talking here about vying for places at special dinners. He's reminding us of that old proverb, "Pride cometh before the fall." See, it's by God's grace and only by God's grace that we're God's believing children. And since that's the case, how can we ever look down on others, on anyone, and say, "God, I thank you that I'm not like those terrible sinners"? Such pride will get us into trouble, as it did for the Apostle Peter. When Jesus warned Peter that he was going to deny him three times, Peter proudly said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." We know what happened with Peter. Peter did deny Jesus three times, even when just a young servant girl was hardly challenging him. Well, from Peter, we can learn the lesson that with God's help, hopefully we won't ever have to learn the hard way. Let's learn from Peter not to be so proud as to think or to say, "You'll never catch me doing some of those terrible things, committing murder, adultery, taking drugs, embezzling funds, using bad language, gossiping." Maybe we're tempted to say those things, but instead of boasting, let's never forget who we are. We're sinners, and let's keep asking God for his help to fight against the temptation to pride and self-centeredness. The sin of pride is closely related to self-centeredness, which is also addressed by Jesus in these verses. To this Pharisee who had invited Jesus to dinner, Jesus said, When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. See, now, understand, Jesus isn't discouraging or prohibiting hospitality to friends, neighbors, and relatives. But he is warning us here against giving only when you want to get something in return, when inviting a rich person to your home, for example. One may have the false motive of thinking, well, if I do something nice for this person, maybe he'll do something even nicer for me back in return. And see, now, that's self-centeredness, thinking really just about me, myself, and I as being most important. The story is told of a man who had just been elected to the British Parliament. He had brought his family to London and was giving them a tour of the city, and he entered with them the Westminster Abbey, and his 8-year-old daughter, she just seemed absolutely awestruck by the wonder of everything that was around her, by the size and the beauty of the magnificent structure. Her proud father, curious about what was going on in her mind, asked her, "And what, my child, are you thinking about?" She replied, "Daddy, I was just thinking about how big you are in our house, but how small you look here." It probably was wise under these circumstances, good for this man to have his pride knocked down by his little daughter instead of by someone else, like a more powerful politician. Let's never forget who we are. Let's watch out for the temptation to pride and self-centeredness. We're blessed when we remember that we're sinners and that we're weak and that we can do nothing to save ourselves, but that our Savior is big enough and strong enough to take care of us, take care of our eternal souls, and win heaven for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, help us remember that we're sinners who deserve your wrath and punishment, but we're so blessed to be redeemed by Christ, so we are heirs of heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.